You're listening to episode 240 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Sean Wells. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have a return guest. He's been on episode 185, on episode 196. This is Sean Wells. Welcome back, brother.
Yo, what's going on? I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about some really cool things that you've got going on in your life. First and foremost, the new book, The Energy Formula, 6 Life-Changing Ingredients to Unleash Your Limitless Potential. I have to say that is an awesome title, Limitless Potential. That Boom. Is super, super cool. And I truly believe, you know, in alignment with our philosophy here at Lifestyle Locker, my personal philosophy, I always feel like we're scratching the surface, right? Like we're like the tip of the iceberg when we get into our potential. And will you talk just a little bit on how you figured that name out? Like how do you come to that name, Limitless Potential, right?
Like, you know, I feel like one, we all have tons of potential. I feel like we're all geniuses. There's a story or a quote around this. I don't know it exactly or who it comes from about, like, you know, how we get judged on our genius, and that like you don't judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you know, like it's that kind of thing. Like we all have like unique genius, and I feel like we're all limitless. And as I've done my plant medicine exploration, I've seen that more and more, you know, like we're quite often told that we need to be in these binary boxes and, you know, of whatever it is, male, female, like straight, homosexual, you know, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, or vaccine, like BLM, you know, anti-BLM, like it's, or, you know, Trump, Biden, whatever it is, like we're all like put in these boxes and no one's in a box. Like everyone's on a spectrum of what they're experiencing in life. And we all have this commonality, no matter where we are in the spectrum of all these things, of we're just doing the best we can with what we've got in this life and trying to be happy. And we all have that in common. And so I feel like we all have limitless potential. We all have genius, and we're all one tribe. We're all truly one tribe. And, you know, we can get lost in the division, and there's reasons that you can give. We could do probably 10 hours of podcasts on why there's division and how that gets leveraged for certain agendas. But I'm kind of, you know, anti any agenda. And I just like want people to be happy. I want people to be healthy. And if you even look in this book, I say the things that I do, but I say you don't necessarily want to do these things. I explain them all, but I say do what works best for you. And I give people the tools to evaluate what works best for them. I do the ketogenic diet. I do intermittent fasting and sometimes extended fasting and all these different things. I do plant medicine work, but those don't necessarily fit for you at this point in your life the way I've done them. Maybe not. Yeah. So like those are things, like I don't want people in boxes. I don't want to tell someone there's one way forward. And in that way, you can be limitless if I let you be the best version of you.
That's perfect. You know, everybody's got their own journey. And that's I love sharing that in my practice with people, because people are like, well, what do you say? I go, you're your own human. Like you're going to have your own experience as you go through this process. But when we get into this book, the book is really cool. For those of you who know Sean, who've listened to previous episodes that may have already seen, he has this book out. You know what I'm talking about. This book is so detail oriented, which I love, but it's story oriented. So it's easy to get involved with. It's easy to follow. And what I love about it, you have, you know, being the, you know, the coolest formulator, supplement formulator on the planet, obviously, right? You have these little this section, I think it's called like Formulator's Corner. Yeah. And like, so you can go and look and see, he's like, this is what I recommend. This is what I use. Even sometimes dropping some brands in that you enjoy. And which is great because for me as someone that likes to test things, I will call myself like a biohacker, if you will, I like to test all of these things out. I get to go through and go, great, let me test this out with me as a person that's an ultra marathoner, someone that works long hours as a chiropractor, and see which things work and which things don't. So I urge people to definitely get this book if you have not gotten it yet. I saw, is there an audio book out too?
There is, and yeah, it's my voice. And
oh, even better. Even better.
It's a beast to go through that process, but I'm so happy that I did. And I'm so proud of this book, not only for the content that you talked about, and there's just tons of stuff in it. Like, yes, there's story. Yes, it's close to 400 pages, but it's like, it has like quote boxes and surveys that you can assess your progress and where you're at in terms of your baseline. There's all the scientific citations. There's about 60 diagrams. There's the formulators corners that go through the supplements, resource hacks that go through the tips and techniques and apps. It's just chock full of tons of stuff that's just usable, like chapter summaries.
Yes.
You just go to these bulleted, like you can just open a page for 5 minutes and you'll get tons of information. And the whole thing is color front to back. So if you buy the hardcover, which this is why it's expensive, it's $39.99, but I made it for $39.80 or something like that on my cost. It's literally full color, like the best quality, like stuff, like front to back. Every page is in color. So it's an amazing book. I also, yes, I have the Audible that's unabridged with my voice. And then if you go to energyformula.com, you buy even the ebook or the hardcover or the Audible. I have all this free stuff, like a fasting for energy guide, which is about 25 pages on the different types of fasts and what your avatar is. There's a hidden chapter on ancestral natural movement. There's Q&A videos, there's recipe books, there's a whole list of all the brands and devices and apps and things that I talk about in the book that has all the links. And I don't get any affiliate money or anything for anything I mention in the book. This is just all stuff that's truly from my heart. There's no money being made on this book. It's just pure passion to help people. So yes, I'm excited about it.
Limitless potential. Limitless potential, right? Yeah. I think it's so true. So there are a couple of pieces in here, you know, being that we all went through this last year together, right? We all went through this sort of stress levels and you name it, you know, whether it's food stress, financial stress, you name it, people are living in this physical, emotional stressful planet, and how we adapt is important. So there's a couple of things that I want to talk about. There are concepts that people may not know if they're meeting you for the first time, or they may not know just because they just don't know. And one is in the stress world, we talk about allostatic load.
Yep.
Right. And there's a couple of terms like eustress, distress, and not like the letter U, but EU stress.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that and just the concepts around it for people?
Yeah. So the through line of the book and when COVID was coming out, I rewrote some of the book so that it really was the through line. It's the most important connecting piece to all the chapters, and biohacking yourself and being limitless is this idea of resilience, the ability to reframe, the ability for your body to bounce back, the ability for you to handle stress. And for us to handle stress, we need to be anti-fragile. We need to be harder to kill. And that's done by having a bigger stress bucket. And we have a very small stress bucket by way of our society in modern culture now, if we were to compare to man of even 100 years ago, because we have sought comfortability. And honestly, if we compare to man of third world countries or second world countries, because we are seeking so much comfortability that we're thermically controlled all day long. We're at 68 to 72 degrees. We don't experience hot and cold temperatures as much anymore. So we don't need activated brown adipose tissue. We don't need heat shock proteins and growth factors and a stronger immune system. Like we don't have, you know, food that's sat out and has more bacteria in it. We don't hug and kiss each other, like in cultures, like as much as some of these other cultures, like where, you know, we're scared to be around people that are coughing or sneezing now. And like, these are things that like challenge your immune system in good ways. We're using, you know, antibacterial everything. We're using antibiotics. We're using sterilizing, you know, solutions and whatever. And it's like leaving our microbiome as scorched earth.
Yeah.
And therefore, one quote unquote good bacteria is bolstering your immune system, is protecting you. And then the quote unquote bad bacteria is what's keeping you resilient. And it's a hormetic stress. It's a eustress most of the time. The one caveat I would give is not everything is a eustress or hormetic stress all the time. They can become a distress if, let's say, you're immunocompromised. And this is where like part of the missed message of like COVID, I think, was that we blanketed the whole culture to do one thing. And I believe if someone was immunocompromised, some of these ideas were good ideas. But if you were not immunocompromised, it's the exact opposite thing mm-hmm. we should be doing. We need to take our immune system to the gym. Otherwise, we become the boy in the bubble. My dog, you know, how much do you see dogs getting all these viruses and conditions, right? My dog can eat her poop and drink lake water. And
true.
And never get sick. Like, I mean, they're resilient. They're strong. And we're not. Like, we're scared to eat food that fell on the table or the ground. Like, we, you know, use like the paper towel on the bathroom handle and, you know, all these things. Like,
yeah.
We're becoming so germ phobic that we're not getting the challenges that we are supposed to be more resilient. And you see these people in other parts of the world being far more resilient because of this challenge. And it doesn't just have to be like, you know, eating, you know, food that fell on the ground. Like, I mean, it's literally like you walking outside barefoot, you know, it's you hugging people. It's you like being out in public environments. Playing with pets, you know, like you traveling to other countries, and you get exposed to all this microbiome, this quote unquote good and bad bacterias. And it's a vibrant earth, if you will, instead of a scorched earth. A scorched earth is not the solution. Is that good during a surgery potentially? Yes, and I think the future of medicine might be adding good bacteria to these situations, just like it's important with a C-section baby to get the mother's vaginal microbiome, you know, put on the baby so that its immune system is stronger. They found that these babies that were C-section ended up having a lot of immune system issues because they didn't end up getting the mother's microbiome at time of vaginal delivery. So it's this kind of thing that's like that is kind of the through line in the book. And it's called like on this bell curve of eustress and distress, in the dead center, the meat of the bell curve is the Goldilocks zone. And it's the perfect amount of stress for the perfect amount of adaptation. So just think of like, if you're going to the gym, it's like, whatever that place is for you, and it's going to change your workouts, obviously, because again, not everything all the time is a eustress. It can become a distress. So it's understanding your body. Mm-hmm. That's where tracking things like HRV and listening to your body and, you know, making sure you're getting the recovery, but also making sure you're pushing yourself enough. It's a delicate balance, and that's the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, I think that's important. You used a very powerful word in there, and I don't know if you said it on purpose, but adaptation is key, you know, and I think that's what makes us so amazing. There's something called the general adaptive potential. It's just how our body deals with stressors in our lives. Like, we may have a stress that may cause a headache, or we may have a stress that causes something else, but the better our body can adapt, those same stressors are not going to impact our health or function the same way. So I think it's really neat that, you know, you talk about, you know, the good and the bad bacteria. I think it's just all bacteria, right? Like, yep. At this point. And so I heard an interesting comment the other day from a gentleman named Dr. Zach Bush.
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, he mentioned that we've written ourselves out of nature, like out of the definition of nature. And you mentioned going outside, being with people, being barefoot and being in different environments where our body can interact with nature. I think that's such a huge miss. Like we're missing so much. And I agree. I think we're making ourselves weaker by hyper sanitizing and hyper this and hyper that and hyper disconnection. That I think, right, a lot of the win is reconnection.
Right.
Yeah.
And despite the ability for our devices to connect us like we are now, it's not a bad thing, but it's not the same as personal human connection.
And yeah. I'd love to be in the same room hanging out with you doing this.
Yeah. We can't lose that. And so that's so important. And there's almost a desire to do that again, to just put us back in our boxes, be it our binary boxes of what you believe, but also our boxes that we're living in that have the artificial floor and artificial light. And we're watching an artificial life on the wall and we're eating our artificial food. And, you know, we're having this artificial human connection, like where we're not in person. And there's like all these pieces that like we're missing, like you're saying, we're not in nature, like we're supposed to be. We evolved for millions of years to be breathing that air, to be getting that sunshine, to be hugging and connecting and having intimate relations with people, to contact animals and, you know, have all of this, to have the light and the dark and that to set our circadian rhythm and not have, you know, bright blue light throughout the night and all this stuff that's just so artificial. Mm-hmm. and we're getting lost in it. And again, we're adding the sanitization of all of it. And it's, we're losing our uniqueness to the point of the binary discussion too. And our categories, we're losing our uniqueness so that we can be put in all of our boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to just tie in another concept from the book. You know, we were talking about light and food and all these things just now. And I'm not sure if this is how it's, if it's letters or you say it's GIGO, is it GIGO?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Can you talk about that? Because you just talked about it without saying it.
Yeah. It's the idea of garbage in, garbage out. It's a computer programming term.
Yeah.
And it just means like, if you code bad in software development, what you're going to get is going to be a bad program. Like it's just not going to work. You're going to have lines of code that either don't run or run improperly. So garbage in, garbage out, very common term in programming. But I love the idea of it in life in general. It's so true. We're consumers of light, of air, of food, of relationships. So what is it you're putting in? Like if you're the product of the five people around you, who are these people that you're putting around you? Is it conscious,
mm-hmm,
or are they just random people and what you get is what you get? Like, so, you know, how conscious of you are the food that you're consuming? Like, is it just, I'll get whatever at the restaurant I'm at? Or are you asking questions? Are you looking? Are you doing your own shopping? Are you cooking? Like, is there conscious thought there? And no, you don't need to be obsessed or perfect or whatever that is, because I do believe that life is about variety. Life is about hormetic stresses that can be, mm-hmm, very good. That could include junk food. That could include crap in the air. That could include all these things, but it's the degree of how much exposure. And there's also a degree of self-empowerment and awareness.
Yeah, so that's good. And I want to go into another, I want to twist this a little bit, because I want to go into another topic that's important to me as an athlete. And I know a lot of our listeners will agree with this. You know, with stressors, they agree 100%. You know, if you're training for me personally, an ultra marathon, I need those stressors. Like that's, yep, the only way for me to grow and get better. But you use a term in the book, which is, I absolutely love. You talk about flow state, mm-hmm, a little bit, but you mentioned in there that flow state supports immune function, which to me, like, oh, that's really, really cool. Can you talk about that?
So flow state to me, like, We were taught hustle and grind by the Gary V's of the world. We are taught that if you're a good boy and you work hard, that 40 years from now, you'll be rewarded. So sacrifice, put your head down, don't enjoy now, because sometime in the future, there will be reward and you will be acknowledged. And whether you're like the Gary V's selling this entrepreneurial idea or a corporate person that's been selling this idea, it's just not true. Like, we need to have hustle, yes, and be in that sympathetic nervous system state at times and go chase things down at times. We definitely need to do that. But the idea of your hustle should be about achieving your why, your purpose, your love, your life, to be in that flow state. So it should be hustle and flow, not heads down grinding where heat is, you know, coming off and pieces are breaking off and there's smoke and your body is literally in a disease state breaking down. That's not ideal. A life of sacrifice in hustle and grind.
Yeah.
No, it has to be hustle and flow. This hustle should be of you pulling things in when you're hustling, or sorry, you're climbing and you're you know, pushing for things, but like in the flow state, you're pulling things in naturally, you know,
like that magnetic
manifesting to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's magnetic. That's when you're in your flow and you don't even need to quote unquote try. It's like just everything is clicking because you are literally achieving your why of whatever your unique genius is. And that's why I think everyone has that limitless potential, that unique genius. This is when they're at their best.
Yeah. So to get into a flow state, I know, like, what, you know, I've read the book, The Rise of Superman, when it came out, and all of these things, Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi, I think that's how you say his name, some of his stuff when they talk about flow state. And a lot of the times the people that get into these flow states that I hear about are extreme athletes, like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, wingsuit flying, or I'm going to go, you know, jump off a 300 foot cliff with a pair of skis and hope that I live. But people have to have these almost near death type experiences to get into a flow. Are there different ways that we can 100%. Utilize nutrition or utilize something to help us get into a flow state, like while we're at work or while with our spouse or while we're exercising? Is there something that can help us, you know? Good. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you bring up a great point about athletes exploring their best, and it becomes very clear if you have greatness within you and that you are excelling to the degree where you're dominating your competition and you can find your truth, your inner truth, your greatness, where you're executing at your best. But most people don't do enough exploration of themselves to know what their uniqueness is. And again, I feel like the more we're put in boxes, the more confusion it's creating to where people, and they're constantly comparing themselves to people that aren't even real on Instagram and everywhere else, to where they don't feel great. They feel confused. They feel lost. And that's why in the book, I talk about starting with your why by Simon Sinek, mm-hmm. and books like that, to understand what your purpose and passion is. But I also think doing the inner work is critical. So, you know, doing plant medicine work, if that resonates with you, or energy work, or meditation, or journaling, or gratitude, or affirmations, these are going to be important to stop with all the distraction and confusion and these things that are going on in your life that keep you busy and keep you away from being mindful. Having flow is an extension of presence and mindfulness. And if you're never mindful, you will never achieve flow.
So you got to have both, or you got to have one to have the other.
You have to be hustling to achieve a degree of greatness, to have that hormetic stress. But you also have to have the parasympathetic introspection and calm. I watched a movie the other day. It was incredible, called The Sound of Metal, about a drummer that loses his hearing and it was just an amazing story and super inspirational. But there was a line in there where they said that you can find God or beauty in the stillness. And I feel like we rarely experience the stillness anymore. Yes. So you cannot achieve that God or true beauty or whatever you want to call it without being still, without achieving that Zen, that introspection, that calm that comes from a lot of work.
Yeah. So I want to circle back real quick onto, you know, mentioning getting to the mindfulness, using some of the tools you've used, like plant, you mentioned plant medicine, you mentioned meditation, you mentioned, I guess, mindfulness itself and that stillness. In your experience, I know, or I don't have any personal experience with plant medicine yet, but what I understand is can be very powerful if done correctly. For the person that doesn't have the access, it may not have the access. What other ways are there ways to connect faster with that stillness, or, you know, talking about like the hack, or if you will, or is it, you mentioned also doing the work. It's two-sided there.
Yeah. Doing the work is going to be ways of getting into that rest and digest parasympathetic state and state of introspection. It's going to be by listening to podcasts, listening to mentors, doing meditation, doing yoga, connecting with your body. Like, that's cool about grounding outside. You're not just connecting with your body, you're also connecting with the earth, mm-hmm. exploring natural movement, you know, crawling and rolling and playing and all of these things, connecting with the sun and all of this, breathing that fresh air, like noticing the breeze move through the trees, looking at the stars. Like, these are things like we're too distracted to typically notice. Like, quite often when we're having conversations, we're not even looking the person directly in the eyes. And that's where deep connection is made. And that's when you really see someone, you see yourself. And that's where strength can be gained. That's where that introspection and knowledge can be gained. Also, I mean, when I say you see someone, when you're triggered by someone, you find someone annoying, and it's like they just get under your skin. That's you. That's your shit, by the way. And you learn this in plant medicine and energy work and all these kinds of things. You learn this stuff that it's you. There's something to be explored there that's about you and your own shortcomings.
Yeah, I think what's the saying? Energy goes where energy flows.
Yes. I will give you one good hack that isn't plant medicine, but is very correlated and has been super helpful for me is NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Tony Robbins, that was the basis for his stuff. Brendan Burchard, it's the basis for his stuff. Those guys are all amazing. But if you want like kind of the core tenets and become knowledgeable of like what it is to understand our motivations and how we can change others and ourselves, NLP is definitely worth exploring.
Okay, cool. I think that's a good win for everybody. You can definitely throw that into the internet machine and find that. So let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about a couple of things with immunity, but I also want to talk about lifestyle versus dieting. Immunity first, you know, and we did touch on this. When we start to see this past 2020, this whole year with the coronavirus, with people locking themselves in and locking themselves down and disconnecting, like we said, environmental factors, we know, play huge, huge, huge role. And what we've seen, and I know we touched on this slightly, people that have comorbidities, meaning other conditions, other diseases, experience the worst of what of 2020, where versus the others have not. So for supplement wise is where I want to go.
I would put one caveat in there. Mentally, there has been a massive toll on people that weren't necessarily immunocompromised.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Suicides are at an all-time high. Depression at an all-time high. Anxiety at an all-time high. Relationships breaking up, all-time high.
All the secondary pieces are massive.
Massive.
Massive. Yeah. So from a standpoint of someone that may not be in that upper echelon of problems, right? They may not have those three or four comorbidities. The people that are like, we'll say like you and I that are say, okay, I know we're pretty good. And we know every year there's a coronavirus season. Every year there's been a flu season. It's just the way nature works. Are there certain things like for us that, or for me, I live in the Northeast, right? So we get gray, like that's our season. It's gray for like 5 months. So what are things that we can do? Some simple things, nutrition wise, supplement wise, even proactive wise, that we can do to ramp up, to normalize our immune system if it's getting suppressed with all of these other pieces of the puzzle.
Number one is what you mentioned before, is becoming a human again and getting back into nature. We are meant to be in nature. We are meant to have natural movement. We're meant to be barefoot. We're meant to expose ourselves to fresh air and sunlight. You know, we're meant to have extremes happen to us with the heat and the cold, and go a day or two without eating and then have a day of feasting. And we're meant to have different diets and food. Like, we're meant for all of this stuff. And we're meant to be exposed to all these bacteria and connect with each other. So that's important. As far as diet, I would say, you know, again, I suggest there's a lot of things, whether you're carnivore, vegan, Mediterranean, keto, paleo. The biggest thing to me, the commonality, is being conscious about it. And then two, that it's whole food, that it's the stuff we were eating generations ago. And there are tribes, and there are certainly a large portion of the animals on the planet that are carnivore. And that's cool. Like, if you want to eat all animal, like if that fits ethically for you, if you want to eat like all, you know, animal parts, I would suggest that you not only eat the meat, but you eat the bone and the tendons and the skin and the ligaments and all the things. So you get, and the organs. And so you get all the nutrients like an animal would. Or you want to be vegan, and it's well constructed. And again, it's whole food based, and it's not ultra processed food in bags and boxes with all these bliss point chemicals, et cetera. Like, that's where our health, that's where metabolic syndrome and dysfunction has come from, is not just sugar, certainly, but it's the antibiotics, it's the GMOs, it's the artificial flavors, sweeteners, colors, and it's the manipulation of these, it's high bliss point foods, where we feel compelled to overeat them. We don't have satiety, and they're engineered that way to trigger dopamine and serotonin. Things might have like just acid or just sweet or just crunch or just gooey in nature, whereas these foods we're eating now are gooey, crunchy, sweet, salty, acid. This, you know, it's like it's foodgasm, like your brain goes.
Yeah, food science, right?
Yeah.
Think of Christmas vacation.
It's so we're overeating these things. Yeah. We can't even control ourselves. It's an addiction. And certainly having sugar is problematic at the degree to which we're having it. And when you're having it with high fat, that's a double whammy. You're getting high calories. You're compelled to overeat it. Insulin's up. You're storing fat. The only place that essentially high glycemic carbohydrate and fat comes in nature, there's only one place, and it's the bears when they're getting ready to hibernate for winter and put on tons and tons of fat. They eat berries and fish, fatty fish. It's the only place that happens. Is we're not supposed to, like,
yeah,
we're not supposed to be eating that way. So, but that's almost all your fast food, snack food, junk food is high fat, high sugar. And I am certainly pro high fat because I'm a ketogenic dieter, but not in the presence of sugar. Okay. So if I am to have sugar or something high glycemic like fruit, I don't combine it with high fat. Like, I have just that. Supplement wise, I've got several. Vitamin D3, obviously no brainer. That's number one. First and foremost, you should be getting your sunlight, but even still, most people like where you're living are not getting enough sunlight. Mm-hmm. So you need to supplement with vitamin D, anywhere from 5 to 10,000 IUs a day. I would check my blood levels. I would add vitamin K2 to it as well. Next up, there's an amino acid that's pro-ketogenic, pro-immune system called lysine. that's very cheap. I'm a big fan of that. If your immune system is crashing, I have like my kind of magical, almost get out of jail card that, that like works so well, because I've fought autoimmune issues my whole life. Is there's a compound called AHCC that comes in mushrooms, that's patented, that they have research with cancer and all kinds of autoimmune issues. Stuff is powerful. It's expensive. So I just use it like when I feel my body is crashing, or I feel like I've been traveling and I might need like a little extra. So that one's a really good one. I also like monolaurin. You can get these little beadlets. They're essentially flavorless, but it's similar to coconut oil in how they taste and what they look like. It's essentially lauric acid, which is C12, which is like from coconut oil, MCT kind of stuff. So, but that one has been shown to activate the immune system and be antiviral, antibiotic in a healthy way. So those are like some of the top ones I'd recommend. Definitely vitamin C. I like the liposomal form, so you can get more in without having the GI distress. And then zinc, if you are experiencing any immune system issues, boosting up your zinc for a period of time makes sense. I wouldn't do it long-term, because you can actually get some mineral deficiencies as a result of boosting up something too long. So I wouldn't go above like 30 milligrams of zinc for too long. 50 milligrams, cool for, a couple weeks or whatever. But long run, I think that 15 to 30 milligram range for zinc is ideal.
Cool. No, I think those are great. Because they're simple. People can go online and get them and definitely do your due diligence and look at the brand you're buying. I would say tell everyone, and don't just, find the cheapest thing you can find. That's usually not the best. But quality is important as well. So being that you're the keto guy and we're on immune system, we're on health, let's talk about this a little bit, because I know people have tried keto. They've done what we would probably call dirty keto. People have had like we'll call them ill effects. I think it's just more of a response, like called the keto flu. So can you talk a little bit about some of the safest practices or the smartest practices, and if someone's going to start keto for the first time?
Yeah, I feel like it's important to start with, to your point, whole food first. Mm-hmm. Get yourself off the addiction of bliss point foods and ultra processed foods. There's an addiction there that's important, that if you go to try a high fat ketogenic diet, that you might end up doing dirty or lazy keto and actually putting on weight. Mm-hmm. So it's best to break yourself of those addictions. It's best to be healthiest and eating nutrient dense food by eating whole food. So that's the best place to start. And obviously removing as much sugar as possible to get yourself off that addiction, to experiment with a little bit of fasting in, even if it's just intermittent fasting, to get away from snacking. Cause again, you're going to probably go into keto and then just try and find all these keto snacks and goodies and treats. And it's important to kind of break yourself of the snacking mentality, the
pattern, right?
And just get to eating meals. And so that's, and break yourself of having to have dessert, or this reward dopamine, like connection with having every meal that also has a dessert. And in between every meal is a snack. Like, you need to break yourself of some of this psychologically. And then I would explore the ketogenic diet. And I would do it very strict at the beginning, to where you can understand and experience what elevated ketones feel like. Because if you're doing like a lot of net carbs and snack foods and dirty and lazy keto, like, you might be doing low carb, but you might also never be experiencing or adapting to the ketogenic diet and the ketogenic lifestyle and what elevated ketones actually feel like. And that's where, if you're kind of doing the holy trinity of like paleo, keto, and fasting, you will get to elevated ketones and you'll see what all the fuss is about, like, to where you have the clarity and the energy, especially if you're metabolically dysfunctional, if you're overweight, have, borderline type 2 diabetic, high blood pressure, all these things, ketones are going to be like boom, like just turning on your brain in a way like you haven't felt. And it'll also reduce your appetite in a way that will surprise you if you adapt well. And then from there, you can experience metabolic flexibility, do targeted and cyclical ketogenic dieting where you do work in carbs and all these things. But I think it's important that you experience what true ketosis feels like.
That's good. Do you recommend for people that are just starting, you, obviously the whole food, 100% agree, should be for life. It shouldn't just be for this. Would you recommend people trying like exogenous ketones?
Those can be good, like especially like if you're learning how to adapt, or again, what it feels like to be in deeper ketosis mentally and appetite wise. It can be something to experiment with, whether you're using exogenous ketones or like C8 MCTs, or I also recommend, like in the book, I talk about dihydroberberine, which is a glucose disposal agent. Like all of those things can help with elevating ketones. So can glycogen depletive exercise, like high intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. So can fasting. All of these things are going to be ways to boost ketones and get deeper into ketosis. And it's important that you can have that as a psychosomatic anchor to say, ah, this is what ketosis feels like. You can use these meters, but the problem is the more you adapt, the lower your ketones get because you become more efficient with it. And it's more important to understand what it feels like to be in ketosis.
Yeah. Would you say being in ketosis is something you should cycle in and out of?
I do like the idea of metabolic flexibility. And I think that's the idea of resilience, is like we're too glucogenic, we're too dependent on sugar and carbohydrates, that we're not very flexible in terms of using ketones, using fat for fuel. And that's come at a cost. Whereas I think, you know, just 50 years ago, because we didn't eat as much and we were fasting or going into caloric restriction because food wasn't as available, food wasn't as calorically dense, et cetera, and we didn't have the same appetites, we were exercising more because we were eating more whole food, because food was higher fiber, more resistant starch, because we did have, you know, meat, et cetera, et cetera. We had a lot of reasons that we would have been in ketosis probably about half the time. And now we're never in ketosis.
Yeah.
So we're not flexible. So it's this idea of being resilient to where we're dual fuel, where we can use either glucose or ketones for fuel.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think everybody, if you haven't yet tested this, I would definitely test intermittent fasting. It's something I've done. I do what I call it intermittent fasting, depending on the day and the time. But doing that and trying giving I hate the word try, but give keto a shot. It's really neat. And I can tell you just from personal experience, I started intermittently going in and out of ketosis probably about 4 years ago when I started training for endurance running. When I first got into endurance running, and I realized that fat is by far the best fuel. And I can tell you, I've had the most focus, the most energy, like talk about a clear head. Like it's kind of odd. It's hard to explain to people who have not been there. Like when I was there the first time, I'm like, holy crap, this is really cool. Like, oh, I feel
it's particularly powerful for what you do athletically. The more like long endurance you are, the more like performance gains you'll see. And you see like these guys breaking records that are doing the ketogenic diet, that are like you, that are doing ultra marathons, et cetera. So absolutely being adapted to using fat for fuel is going to be powerful for especially someone like you.
Yeah. But and I want to share this with everybody. You know, a lot of people are like, you know what, but I don't know if I can make it 16 hours without food. You know, I've put myself to the test, and I know, Sean, without a doubt, you have, with no doubt in my mind, many, 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 many times. I tested myself this past year twice in two ultra marathons. I did them fully fasted. The only thing I added were, for those that have heard me say, but I use energy because I've had chlorella and spirulina, and that's it. I've had water and these plants, and I've ran 50 miles. One was in 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and the next one was almost at 105 degrees. Wow. So, and I came out the other side. Was I in pain? Was I uncomfortable? Of course. But when you get your body into using fat for fuel, like for me, that was a mental and physical test. holy cow. I mean, it really is. And it will help everything in your life. Talk about being resilient. I mean, when you start to think about like getting finished with work for a day, and what do most people do? They're going to grab like a beer or something and sit on their couch and be done. Like, I'm shot. And they just spike their sugar again and do all this stuff. And then they rinse and repeat. Like, people ask me, like, how do you not get tired all the time? Like, you work 14-hour days.
Yeah, that's the beauty of, you know, fasting. We talk about, obviously, that you can lose weight and lean up and become more insulin sensitive, and autophagy, which is cellular detoxing. And there's anti-aging mechanisms that are taking place with protecting telomere length, activating sirtuins, improving mitochondrial function, all this stuff where you do have more energy. But the number one benefit to what you were talking about to me with fasting is that it's willpower. And once you commit to, I can do this, oh man, like, it changes your life that you can, like, I can do this. This is doable. What else does that translate into in your life? Where have you had self-limiting beliefs of where fasting is impossible? I'd be on the floor. But now you're fasting. Now you're sitting in front of other people eating. Now you're going the distance and seeing, I can go 1 day, 2 days, 3 days without eating. I can run an ultra marathon without eating. Mm-hmm. What else can you do that you've been limiting yourself on?
Yeah. Limitless potential. I mean, it's key. So this is good. I'm glad we hit a lot of different points for the audience here. And I want to finish up with one thing. Now that we've given everybody's brain and exercise, let's talk about, I mean, you obviously talk about fitness in the book as well with your background, in lots of different ways, but you mentioned something, I'm just looking at what I wrote here. You talk about muscular strength just doesn't increase lifespan. It increases health span. What's the difference?
So health span is a really important distinction, Josh, where lifespan, yes, is how long we live or a species lives, whatever that organism is, like how long it's existing on this planet, birth and death. Health span is how long you live that vibrant, disease-free life. And that is such an important distinction, where we're getting life extension sometimes. But what's the quality of that life extension?
Yeah.
Are we on a ventilator? Are we in a nursing home in a bed for, you know, 10, 15 years? Like, what is that vibrancy? And when you look at the blue zones and you look at the Harvard study that talks about the number one predictor of longevity is quality of relationships, and you see how important purpose is. When we retire, quite often in Western culture, we die, we get sick, health span is over because we lost purpose and we lost connection. And so those quality of relationships are so key. And that's why when you see these blue zones, these people have in their communities purpose and connection. And that's so critical. And I think that's actually one of the reasons why women live a lot longer. When I was in nursing homes as a dietitian, it was almost all women. Because when they get to that retirement age, they still have connection through family, through friends, they socialize more, and they also have purpose. Like in that generation, they tended to be more the homemaker and, you know, cooking and clean, you know, all these things that are so important to that family unit. And quite often this man who's worked his whole life lost his identity. Lost his friends, now is purposeless, now is less connected, and we die earlier. And so it's something to think about, is finding ways to stay connected, to stay on purpose, to find flow state.
Yeah, I think that's important. In the chiropractic world, we talk about adding life to years and years to life. And I think that's, you know, our version of increasing people's health span. And, you know, if everybody listening, you got to get this book. You got to dive in. He said it's thick. I don't have the paper version. I have the Kindle version just because I'd like to take it traveling, but I think I may actually end up getting the paper version now, because you said it's big and pretty and I like, you know, I want it on my shelf, but now I can go through it and take notes. You'll get a lot more than you bargained for when you get this book. If $40 is something that's stopping you from getting healthier, just think what the cost of the next supplement is going to cost, or maybe the next prescription you may have to get, or the next surgery. I think the risk of spending $40 on a book is very, very low. I think everybody can make a big, huge change in their lives. If you took 10% out of this book, it's a huge win. 10%. You know, I've been through the book about 1.5 times, and I still am picking up things that are new that wow. I, you know, maybe read through fast. So everybody check out the Energy Formula, check out Sean, follow him on social. He I'm going to call you a friend. I've met you now and had conversations, at least on the cell phone, at least a couple of times. And I really appreciate all the hard work you do, the connection that you have with, you know, just being a real person with me. You know, I can't say that for every single person that I get to have a conversation with, and the connections you've helped me make with other people. And I feel like I'm constantly evolving, and I want to thank you for doing what you do, but first and foremost for being you. That's the most important piece of the puzzle. So I want to thank you, Sean. This has been absolutely awesome.
Thank you so much, Josh. That's like, I'm riding high on that. That's really powerful. I receive that. I appreciate that. And yeah, this book has been years in the making, and I'm so proud of it. And I went all in on that hardcover. I was just like, let's make it as nice as possible. And yes, it's a little bit more expensive as a result, but you know, I'm making like 20 cents on it. So
yeah,
it's all about like giving to people so that they can have it as a resource, so that it's, you know, got all these pieces and parts mm-hmm. and, you know, you can just pick it up, like you said, and just learn stuff. And I'm just so, so proud of it. And it does have stories in it, and it connects mm-hmm. and it's empathetic. And I really open my heart and soul up in this thing and talk about my depression and my struggles with health and all of those things in here. So hopefully it does land and connect and change lives. That's been my goal. And so I'm so appreciative that you gave me this platform to do that.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you as part of my team. I appreciate you, Sean. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. And SeanWells.com, all my personal stuff and where I'm going to be, and tons of like scientific guides and all of those things that are cited on different supplements, immune stacks, whatever. Instagram at Sean Wells, SHAWN, tons of info there. I'm on Clubhouse at Biohacking. I've been doing a lot of shows there. And then lastly, energyformula.com. You can find out all about the book, get all the extras. And it's amazing. So I appreciate it again, Josh. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome. Glad to have you. Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Sean Wells. Make sure you go out and get the book, right? It's called The Energy Formula, 6 Life-Changing Ingredients to Unleash Your Limitless Potential. Check it out. I have it right here on my Kindle, on my phone. Get it, read it, love it. Check out the link in the show notes so you can get all the details, the bonuses, and everything. Sean Wells, right? So I want to make sure you do connect with him. Also, follow this outro, right? Follow the end of this podcast to the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. It's a great partner while you're taking care of yourself and taking care of your health. This program is just $5 a month or $54 a year. Check it out. Dive in. You will absolutely love it. All right, y'all. Have a great day, evening, or night, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you. If you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.